The Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Advertising Corporation and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Reoccurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found in his Washington Times column, Forbidden Tablecloth.
It's time now for The Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but people who believe in God aren't getting with the times. And conservatives who believe in God are conservatives who don't believe in God, but are still conservative. They aren't getting with the times either. They're out of step with the country, you're saying to yourself. Oh, really? Out of step, are we? Then how come the Obama administration is talking again about our need for bipartisanship, that holy phrase? I'll tell you exactly why they're talking about bipartisanship, because Obama knows he is going to lose one, if not both, houses of Congress come November. And folks, November's coming very quickly. And they're already trying what the Clinton administration tried back when Clinton lost in 1994, not lost the presidency, but lost the houses. After that blowout election where Republicans took back both the House and the Senate, the Democratic talking points were that people wanted bipartisanship. Nice spin. Actually, the people just wanted the liberals out of office. In any event, allow me to make some predictions. These predictions are easy, but I'll just go ahead and make them anyway. After the November election, Republicans will take back the House and possibly the Senate as well. Democrats will point to various voting polls all over the country, claiming voter fraud and insisting that African Americans and other people of color were somehow kept from voting. At first, Republicans will set out to defund Obama's Marxist agenda. Yes, I called it a Marxist agenda because that's just exactly what it is. And then Obama will continue calling Republicans the party of no and blame every single problem in our country on them and, oh yes, on George W. Bush. If Obama was able to paint the Republicans as his only obstacle to getting things done when they had absolutely no power these past 2 years, just imagine how he can make them look after they take back Congress. Meanwhile, conservative commentators will mention that Republicans need a bigger tent and that we should really rally around fiscal but not social issues. Certain Republicans now in power will lose sleep over the scathing commentaries by the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Boston Globe. Some of them will compromise to show that they are not really the party of no, after all, that they're actually compassionate conservatives. But some Republicans will not compromise, and if that holds true for most of them, the economy will turn around somewhat. It's going to be hard to turn around a lot, but it could turn around somewhat. Obama will then grab all the credit for the turnaround, even as he continues to use his czars and executive orders to circumvent Congress so that he can one day ruin our economy once again, rebuilding our country in his own image, the socialist Marxist image, and claim that getting rid of the free market system was his only choice. After all, he tried to save capitalism, but George Bush's far-reaching multi-tentacled policies were too ominous to beat back. In short, November is only the beginning. A battle for the soul of our nation will continue. Casualties, moral, spiritual casualties, will be those who sell their souls from both sides of the aisle. Just one man's prediction, but keep praying. That is the only hope that things will go better than expected. And while you're praying, my friends, Israel needs some prayer. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, under pressure from the Obama administration to have peace talks with people who want Israel just plain dead, tried to offer a deal to the Palestinians. Here's the deal. Israel will discontinue the settlements in occupied territory. I hate it when they call it that because it's not really occupied territory. It belongs to Israel. But occupied territory, quote unquote, Benjamin Netanyahu promises to stop the settlements if the Palestinians will acknowledge a new Israeli law. Israel has added an amendment to its citizenship requirements. Those who wish to become citizens must take an oath that affirms that Israel is a Jewish and democratic state. The oath doesn't demand that Israeli citizens become Jewish. As a matter of fact, there are many Arabs and Christians who live as Israeli citizens, but the law does remind people that historically the modern state of Israel was set up as a home to Jews who were being persecuted in other parts of the world for 2,000 years. That doesn't mean the Jews didn't live in Israel the last 2,000 years, because they did, but more of them certainly came in after the Holocaust and other kinds of persecutions. In the words of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel was set up to be, quote unquote, the national state of the Jewish people as the sovereign state of the Jewish people in its historic homeland. Well, you can probably guess this. Needless to say, the Palestinians have a tremendous problem with this, even though the preamble to the Palestinian Basic Law talks about the continuous attachment of the Arab-Palestinian people to the land of their fathers and forefathers. It also says in Article 4, Islam is the official religion in Palestine, and the principles of Islamic Sharia law shall be the main source of legislation. Article 116 states, laws shall be promulgated in the name of the Palestinian Arab people. Now, Syrian leader Bashar Assad told journalists that Israel's declaration to be a Jewish state was fascist. It was an act that proves Israel is a racist country, really. Let me understand this. Israel is racist for wanting to be a Jewish country. The fact that Palestinians want to be an all-Muslim, all-Arab country is not racist, of course. As a matter of fact, the Palestinian Charter does not recognize Israel's right to exist at all, and Palestinian children are taught that Jews are devils. The Palestinians do not want a two-state solution. They want a one-state solution. They are unwilling to share any of the land with Israel.
When Bob Siegel says that the Palestinians are unwilling to share the land with Israel, he doesn't mean to imply that they aren't willing to share any of the land.
Thank you, Dan. We always appreciate the special assistance of Disclaimer Dan.
Actually, the Palestinians only want the surface of the land. They are happy to bury just as many Jews as possible beneath the surface.
And then, of course, the Palestinians put Hamas in power, a terrorist organization also bent on the destruction of Israel. Hamas condemns Israel's new oath, like everybody else. Big surprise. This from the organization that has summer camps for young boys that teach them how to be terrorists. I remember when this first started happening a few years ago, the Bob Siegel Show was on top of it. We announced it through our own Smiley Miley.
Hey, kids. Summer's coming to a rapid end, but it isn't too early to start thinking about next summer. Reserve your spot now and be where the action is. That's right. Hamas, the grandest growing group of Gaza, presents Summer Camp 2006. Swimming lessons, horseback riding, potato sack races, Jew hating, and other summertime fun. Our comfortable facilities help to make your stay a welcome one, while the patriotic green flags of Hamas in the background also make your stay a focused one. Camp songs include "In the Good Old Summertime," "Where Have All the Blasphemers Gone?" and "Other Religions Are for Sissies." Arts and crafts classes include painting, ceramics, basket weaving, matzah poisoning, and first year bomb assembly. You may enter our camp as a boy, but you'll return as a man. You'll be challenged and stretched with teamwork and rigorous sporting activities. Shooting rapids, climbing trees, stalking infidels, and of course, beating last year's record for the fastest suicide. Some of our kins like to save that one for last.
Uncle Omar, when I grow up, will I learn to kill as many Zionists as you?
That's my boy. Study up, work hard. There's no telling what you might do.
Hamas Summer Camp. Having us next to Israel is the next best thing to no Israel at all.
What kind of upside-down world do we live in? I'm not just talking about the Middle East. I'm talking about the bleeding hearts of America that deny anything evil about the enemies of Israel, or the Islamists who want to destroy America, or the Marxists who want to destroy America. They're not evil, but America's evil. Israel's evil. In this upside-down world we live in, time to wake up, or you and the pleasant world you knew will part company like two good friends spending a last day together.
Come Saturday morning, I'm going away with my friend. Will Saturday spend till the end of the day? Just I and my friend. We'll travel for miles in our Saturday smiles, and then we'll move on. Saturday's gone. Come Saturday morning. Come Saturday morning. Come Saturday morning. I'm going away with my friend. When the Saturday left more than half of the day.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
Welcome back to our program. My first guest today is Gabriella Hoffman. Gabriella is a sophomore at UC San Diego and juggles being a conservative activist with her involvement in Young Freedoms, Young Americans for Freedom. Oh, that is Young Freedoms, Young Embodiments of Freedoms. Does a lot of blogging, does a lot of writing. You can read her here locally on the San Diego Rostra. She's the daughter of Lithuanian immigrants who fled the former Soviet Union in 1985. Came to the U.S. in 1986 and has been forged, in her own words, from birth, forged to be a conservative. Now, I had the privilege of interviewing Gabriella when I substitute hosted for Rick Amato a couple of weeks ago. At that time, her good friend, Yoella Palkin, surprised us by calling in. And today, we have twice the treat because Yoella is also joining us. Yoella Palkin was born to parents also who immigrated from the Soviet Union. just something about that Soviet Union that makes you want to immigrate somewhere else. I don't know, something in the water. She is, it's really a fun place. I get the Soviet Union confused for Disneyland all the time myself. I don't know why people don't like it. Anyway, Yoella is thankful to be born in a free country and not an authoritarian form of government, but troubled because she sees those freedoms being stripped away a piece at a time. Yoella became involved after seeing the lack of American history and constitutional values being taught in our schools. Her parents suffered through hardships in their country of birth so that their children would never experience such oppression from any other form of government. She has begun formulating her own Young Americans media network to grab young people with entertainment and graphics while educating them about the principles of our founding fathers. And besides developing this network and being a weekly contributor to David Horowitz's newsreel blog, Yoella is a full-time student studying public law. She went into public law to learn more about our structure of government and the necessary rights needed to protect our citizens. Yoella and Gabriella, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, they may talk at the same time. These women are two peas on a pod for everything I've said. They don't look the same, but boy, you would think they were twins joined at the hip. But that's good. It is so heartening to see young conservative activists. The word activist usually goes hand in hand with liberal. Now, ladies, I'm going to start with something unusual, and I didn't tell them. Stars were not briefed with questions in advance on this show because I like the spontaneity. I am going to ask each young lady to answer for her friend.
Oh.
And I will begin with Gabriella. Gabriella, what is the most significant contribution that Yoella has made to the conservative cause?
Well, I would say it is her involvement, you know, in Northern California just as a whole, whether it would be involvement in campaigns, going on radio shows, just volunteering all of her heart and all of her efforts, you know, up there and shaking things up, being representative of Northern California. I would say I don't hear anything else coming out except, you know, her efforts from there. So I would say that.
Okay. And now, Yoella, what is the most significant contribution Gabriella has made to the conservative cause?
Well, I think the fact that she brought David Horowitz to UCSD, and that's actually what opened many eyes for young people in general, that we actually do have a problem with Islam in this country, and there are quote-unquote terrorists on college campuses that are threatening our foreign policy and our lives in general. And the fact that the Muslim Association student actually spoke out and admitted that she would not condemn Hamas, I think that's what really
spunk
that.
That was an event that got replayed on Fox News. That was something else. Okay, well, ladies, those are my two questions. Thanks for being on the show. We'll see you next week.
You're not getting rid of us yet.
Gabriella, tell us, update us on what's going on at UCSD. I know that you were responsible for the David Horowitz event.
Yeah, sure. I guess we could follow up with that with what's going to be transpiring next. We're going to be having a global communism awareness panel. It was my idea to have that unleashed because, you know, in another threat, you know, besides radical Islam, is the impending threat of communism. Many people fail to underscore, the incoming threat of communism. You know, Marxist-Leninists, you know, are in the form, masquerade themselves as professors teaching, you know, a good word, a good message, but they breed, you know, their ill ways on campuses, essentially. So, we want to kind of expose them next. You know, those radical Islam and communism are the most pressing issues.
Okay, now today. It's interesting because radical Islam and communism, as far as philosophies and worldviews go, couldn't be more diametrically apart. Mm-hmm. And yet it does seem that these days the Marxists, liberals, whatever they want to call them, and I know not all liberals consider themselves Marxists, but many are, whether they use the term or not. We could just even say the politically correct. The politically correct are making strange bedfellows with the Islamists. In your opinion, Gabriella, what is the reason for this, what we would call very uneasy alliance? That they are defending the Muslims. The Muslim terrorists tell you exactly what they plan to do. They want us to convert or die. But all these bleeding hearts are coming on TV. Go, no, that's not what they're trying to do at all. Maybe if we sat down. Why this alliance?
Well, I believe it's due to the fact that many people have insecurities and they also have, you know, a fail of this understanding of their true motives. They say, you know, they're poor people, that they're being oppressed routinely by, you
know. Osama bin Laden came from a very wealthy family.
I know. I know. That's the ironic thing about that.
Oh, maybe his mother never bought him a sled when he was a kid. He was troubled. Of course, living in Saudi Arabia, a sled wouldn't have worked too well, but that's beside the point.
Or a soccer ball.
But, you know, I think it's due to the fact that, you know, they could kind of sympathize with them, because communists want to find, you know, faults or like anger within people and get them on their side. Essentially, they want to get people who are, you know, tirelessly fighting against capitalism, and, you know, evil bourgeois pigs, as we are, I guess, are, you know, is what they like to label us.
And then the Muslim motive would be, these are useful idiots. And once mm-hmm. we take over the country, these people that were traitors to their own country will be the first ones to die. Something like mm-hmm. that. Okay, Yoella, would you like to comment on this
issue? Oh, sure. I mean, this is a topic that has been, you know, never ending, it seems like, nowadays. And I think the real problem is the political correctness in this country, and the fact that people will just not realize what the religion of Islam preaches. I mean, I have for myself read the Quran. When I went to a Jewish school in San Francisco, we actually compared the Quran with the Torah and the Constitution, surprisingly. And if you look at Sharia law alone, it basically goes against every single human right that is given to us in this country mm-hmm. and completely goes against the rights given to us in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And I just think that if people actually wake up and realize what these Islamists preach and what their prayers mean, what they chant on a daily basis, then we will actually come to a conclusion that we are at war with Islam.
Okay, now, a lot of people would say, oh, well, when Gabrielle said radical Islam, that's okay. But when Yoella just said Islam, that's not okay. That's what a lot of people would say. The conventional wisdom today, Yoella, is that Islam's this peaceful religion and just a few nutcase terrorists hijacked it. But the terrorists are the ones who are actually reading
the
what
religious.
The Quran really says.
Yeah.
And it's the Muslims mm-hmm. who may have grown up in a Muslim country and not understand their faith, just as a lot of Christians grow up in America and mm-hmm. they who have never read the Bible.
Exactly.
The Muslims who are actually reading the Quran, those are the terrorists or the Muslim governments,
yes.
where if a woman gets raped, they might throw her in jail instead of the rapist.
Ridiculous.
I mean, I usually, you know, I'm named very awful things with my because of my opinions on this, and I usually tell people that there's two types of people. There are those that actually practice Islam, which we would call religious Muslims, and there are those that were born into a Muslim family and do not practice Islam.
Exactly.
So those that actually practice the religion of Islam are the ones that, in my perspective, are radical, because they are preaching hate in their prayers and their sermons. So
okay, Yoella Malkin and Gabriella Hoffman, two...
Palkin.
I told you were the next Michelle. We have the next Michelle Malkin and the next Ann Coulter here. That was a Freudian slip. It is pronounced Palkin, though, right?
Palkin.
At least I got the right vowel, even
yeah,
if I got the wrong syllable.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, WNS Electric. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm here with Gabriella Hoffman and Yoella Palkin, who I called Malkin because she's a lot like Michelle Malkin. Isn't it nice to know that? Well, these are nice promotions to have. Okay, Yoella, we were talking about the fact, and feel free to jump in on this, Gabriella. Sure. We were talking about the fact that today people want to say, well, it's radical Islam, it's militant Islam. Now, I don't mind using that phrase because why get off on a rabbit trail? Yes. We are in danger from radical Muslims, but having said that, any Muslim who reads the Quran and decides to obey it sees verses about the jihad. It's right there in chapter 9. And a true Muslim is a radical Muslim. Is that not correct?
Yes, it is. I mean, we were attacked on 9/11 by Islam. Those jihadists screamed Allah Akbar before they, you know, flew the planes into the Twin Towers. That is a religious terrorist group. The jihadists in the actual religion Islam that preaches terrorism among infidels is what we as a country should acknowledge. And I mean, the fact that people keep on trying to throw out the First Amendment right, that, you know, we have the right in this country to freedom of religion, practice and preach whatever we want, is a little bit wrong in this case, because we don't actually realize what this religion is saying, and the corruption coming into our country because of this horrible act.
Right, and isn't it true, Yoella, that the right to freedom of speech has to be balanced with other things in our Constitution, such as not committing treason?
Definitely.
When somebody is admitting through their own Sharia law ideas that they would overthrow our Constitution, how can they then claim to be protected by the rights of the Constitution? Well, that's a rhetorical question. They can do it because there are a lot of real dumb people letting them get away with it.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. They tried to contort the First Amendment to go along their desires of, oh, you know, we have every right to essentially protect our, you know, belief system, when in fact it's so counterintuitive and it is, you know, along the lines of treason. It's ridiculous how treasonous thought can be considered acceptable. You know, it's just appalling.
It absolutely staggers the imagination. Now, of course, these young ladies are putting themselves on the line because people get killed for saying things about Muslims these days.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
How dare you call us? You call us a violent religion? We'll show you. How do you like this beheading?
I've actually been attacked by a number of Palestinians before.
Verbally
attacked, and I was actually almost physically attacked once by a woman claiming she was a liberal Jew, dressed in Palestinian apparel with her black sheets covering her face, and she was actually arrested by the police.
Well, there are liberal Jews even in Israel that take the side of the Palestinians. By the way, just so that you all know, I am Jewish, and Yoella is Jewish, and Gabriella is half Jewish, and Jesus was half Jewish on his mother's side, I always like to say, if you think about the implications of that one. But they're putting something on the line. Now, I want you to know I'm putting something on the line, too, because I speak out against Islam all the time. And if any of you want to come after me at the end of the show, I am going to give you the address of my good friend Ross, who's listening right now. And you can go see him about it. So
Watch out, Ross.
Yeah, you're next.
At least I didn't give poor Ross's last name. Somebody might really take that serious. Okay, well, let's go through. So there's a lot going on right now. The Tea Party movement is something all three of us have been involved with.
Mm-hmm.
Gabriella, what is your evaluation? What we always hear is just a bunch of right-wing men, they're all in their middle ages. There's no people of color there. Now, I didn't see it that way at the tea parties I've been to. What's your assessment of the Tea Party?
It's interesting that you know all these, you know, premises coming about the Tea Party. I've come across two op-ed articles recently from one of from Cornell University. A friend of mine there pointed out to me one op-ed piece and something from my own, you know, main campus paper, The Guardian at UCSD, just came out with another riling, bashing article saying that Tea Party enthusiasts are idiots, that they have no basis to their argument. They're old white men who twiddle their thumbs and play video games, that they're essentially, you know, promoting this and they're all racist. So it's just the whole book, the whole, you know, name calling and all the accusations that they throw out. There's no basis. And even liberals, you know, despite their, you know, failing to agree with, you know, conservative notions, see the inaccuracies and the lack of basis to their arguments about the Tea Party. It was interesting to peruse through the comments, but interesting you note that. But, you know, the Tea Party, I see it as a burgeoning effort. You know, it's something to not, you know, underestimate. It, I think it was a reinforcer of, you know, constitutional values in our nation. It reaffirmed, you know, a support for the United States and support for our longing freedom and, you know, for the state of our republic, you know, to be existent.
And your thoughts on the Tea Party?
Well, I love those white fascist fascist extremists, because I call myself one. No, but I mean,
see, now somebody could take that out of context.
Yeah, no,
YouTube.
No, but people always call us Marxists and fascists all the time.
It's really funny because fellow Republicans that don't affiliate themselves with the Tea Party have called Gabrielle and I Marxists, which we find very interesting.
Yeah,
well,
it's
interesting because you have both had run-ins. You would think, if the Republicans were doing what they claim their party is to be all about, you'd think they would be embracing you out on the college. Why are they walking around like such two-faced wusses?
Well, let me tell you honestly that they're, you know, both parties are a problem right
mm-hmm.
now. And
absolutely.
The Republicans as much as the Democrats. And there are people that are just party line voters that strictly preach and repeat whatever the party says to them. They don't logically think about issues themselves. They don't analyze themselves. And those are the ones that go against Gabrielle and I, because we tend to logically interpret things with our own brains.
Oh, in other words, you confuse them with the facts, and that makes them upset.
Yes, yes. And I mean, it's actually, the problem is the both sides, you know, trying to attack each other, because we tend to lay down the argument. We present the truth. You can say what you want to say. We will come up with a resolution. Maybe we will find common ground, but we will stick to the truth. We will not represent a party.
I've often mm-hmm. said that the problem with the Republicans is when they get into power, they don't do the things they promise. And the problem with the Democrats is when they get into power, they do a lot of the things they promise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Obama said we'd have change, and boy, oh, we're getting change all right. Not
change.
Quite the change people thought it was going to be.
Yeah, change going off the cliff.
Yeah, change you can't believe in, or you could.
Change and loose change is all you have left when
pennies.
It's over with. Exactly. Well, speaking of Obama, how do you feel he's doing with the war on terror right now? Since he's finally able to use the word terrorist, they couldn't even use the word terrorist for a while. But
so pathetic.
Yeah, really.
Gabriella, your opinion of Obama and the war on terror. And folks, you're hearing this opinion from college students. Oh, we're going to have to hear that opinion when we get back. Gabriella Hoffman and Michelle Palkin are my... I said Palkin correctly that time, right?
Yes, but the other way around.
Oh, I got your name. So great. That's what I get for having two guests on at the same time. We'll be right back.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out Bob's daily blog on townhall.com. Bob is also a regular contributor for San Diego Rostra and San Diego Newsroom. And don't forget his website, www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you download past radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and get information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. BobSiegel.net.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Well, I told you these ladies were like two peas on a pod, so much so that I switched their first names and they nailed me. It is Gabriella Hoffman. It is Yoella Palkin, who I earlier called Malkin. I'm not doing great with the names today, but you are going to remember the names of these young ladies because they're going to be big years from now. You're going to, if not sooner, you're going to see them on Fox News. They're going to be all over the place. And we were talking about Obama and the war on terror, and I was asking Gabriella for her comments.
Sure. Well, the thing is, it's quite interesting to note how all of the liberals and all of his, you know, buddies, you know, people who were confiding in Obama, you know, to win the presidency and eventually ascend to the ranks of, you know, the White House, whatever and all, they were expecting him to withdraw completely from Afghanistan and completely abandon it, say, you know, we need to bring the troops home and this and that, you know, and one of his, they believe that one of his hallmark, you know, successes of his administration, something that they hopefully will only look back to until 2012, but actually there's nothing in his efforts there, but you know, the fact that he failed to live up to his promises of withdrawing troops sooner in Afghanistan kind of raises a suspicion.
Well, and of course, all this stuff about the timetable. He was calling Afghanistan the good war when he was speaking out against Iraq when he was running for president. Mm-hmm. So he had to give them some kind of token. But those rules of engagement are kind of like do a bow and then kiss the person and then make sure he has an attorney in case you accidentally shoot him. It's appalling. Your opinion on Obama and the war on terror?
I was actually shocked to find out that he decided to send more troops to Afghanistan, and I think that's what turned many liberals against him because most of them consider themselves anti-war. I mean, I have to say that what most people may not understand is that at this point, we cannot literally withdraw our troops completely. We have to finish our mission there and then slowly step away and make our troops come home. And I think it's the fact that we will always be stationed there because we have to protect our rights there. And we have been working towards completing our mission, but it has not been hit yet. And until we do so, I don't think that we should really think about bringing our troops back home.
This is an idea that I'd like to get the response from both of you. Would it be fair, in your opinion, to say that when it comes to the war on terror and foreign policy, Obama is very naive, but when it comes to domestic policy, he knows exactly what he's doing, and he's trying to sink our economy and then build a socialist government out of the ashes. Gabriella, your response to that?
Yeah, I would say that he has a very brash idea, or I'm sorry, not brash, but very honest opinion about how he wants to conduct himself domestically. He knows what he wants to do. With healthcare, you know, he intended for the single payer system, you know, essentially socialized healthcare. That's what he wanted. For economy, he wanted to essentially bail out the banks, make sure that they're reliant upon the government for, you know, productivity, which obviously does not work out. He's quadrupled the debt since, you know, Bush came in, and Bush was not perfect, obviously, with the economy. But he has just created such a defunct economy under his dictatorship, I'll call it, so far, that it's just our free, you know, market.
Dictatorship economy. In the making, yes, embryonic absolutely. Dictatorship, perhaps, yeah. But definitely headed that direction.
Yeah, but the fact that he has an idea about what he wants to do, he said it clear what he's going to do to radically transform this country with economics, you know, with healthcare and just his whole approach to society as a whole. He knows what he's doing, but when it comes to foreign policy, he's just playing with the notion about, you know, how to do it.
Doesn't he think everyone could just join hands and sing Kumbaya?
Yeah, that's
including
what he
Ahmadinejad.
Thinks. Yeah, he's appeasing to the Russian president and the whole Russian, you know, administration, for crying out loud. Like, you would never think that Americans would do that. Yoel and I could attest to this, but Russians are still very suspicious people. You can't treat them.
KGB, yeah. Under a new name.
Yeah, yeah. It was rebranded as a whole entire new thing. It's still the same system, but it appears like it's not. You know, but it's just like his allegiances to, you know, appeasing to, let's say, the Palestinians, to Iran, you know.
Well, he scolded Israel for building apartments in Jerusalem. That is their capital city.
Yeah.
And this guy is calling it an expansion into occupied territory.
Yeah.
because he's surrounded by either a lot of nutcases and or anti-Semites, I suppose. Suggest it's more the latter.
Yes. Well, let's be frank that Obama is a community organizer. He has no real education in foreign policy. He knows exactly what he's doing domestically. He knows that he's bringing our economy down. He knows that healthcare is going to increase our debt drastically. I mean, the fact is that he's very naive by people like Rahm Emanuel, who thankfully has already left office and will be soon running.
And has gone back to Chicago, where Chicago politics began.
Yeah, but you see that more people are fleeing from his administration, with like Christina Romer and all of them. It might be, I think it's indicative that something obviously is going to go down. So they're getting scared.
I even think the appointment of Elena Kagan was also staged by him. I mean, I think that was also his decision from a while ago, and the fact that he brought her in during the time that he did was also something that he planned for a while.
You know, what's interesting is when we talk about nominees to the Supreme Court and when they're women nominees, what we always hear from the left is, well, a woman will bring a unique perspective and balance to the Supreme Court. You get those same people to talk about gay marriage, and they'll say, having two fathers instead of a father and mother, woman brings no unique perspective there. Isn't it interesting how if you take every viewpoint that a liberal has and put it against some other viewpoint, they all cancel each other out. And at the end of the day, they believe nothing, nothing at all. Well, now, for both of you, some people would say, well, Obamacare, what's wrong? We're all going to get free health care.
Let's talk about quality, not free.
Yeah, everybody's going to get it, but it's going to be the same mediocre health care. All of us, they don't want people to have degrees of health care. And I don't have any great love for the insurance industry. I mean, I don't. I think lawyers have gotten a bad rap. We should have insurance salesman jokes. However, if you don't like your own insurance, go to someone else. Yeah, exactly. What happens when you don't like the insurance from the government? Well, you know,
You're stuck with it.
You've had your time. You've lived a good, full life.
We love this country because we can choose
we have our
care.
And I love this one. Why don't we do things the way they do them in Europe? didn't any of you have parents that said if your friends were going to jump off a cliff, would you join them?
Exactly.
In Europe, when they can afford it, where do they go? They go here for health care. If they could afford to come live here, they'll come here live.
Absolutely.
America's the most distant country in the world, but it's the country everybody would come live in if they could. Staggering. The imagination.
Most certainly.
Okay, now the November elections that are coming up. There is a lot of optimism. Like I mentioned before on other shows, I'm cautiously optimistic. I really am not too concerned about whether Republicans are going to take back. I think they're probably going to take back both houses, but at least the House, a good deal of the Senate. I am worried about whether they're going to compromise after they come into power. Let me get your thoughts on that, because you're certainly, both of you, experiencing Republican compromise right out on the campus.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get the responses from both of them when we return, and I'm going to make very sure that you hear the correct names this time. It is Gabriella Hoffman, Gabriella, and Yoella Palkin.
Thank you.
We'll be back. Looking to build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com. This is Bob Siegel inviting you to tune in for the Rick Amato Show four nights a week here on 1170 KCBQ. Rick stays on top of the issues local and national. He also does some of the most stimulating interviews you've ever heard. That's the Rick Amato Show Monday through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. You can also find Rick on AmatoTalk.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to our program. The time went by far too quickly, but I'm here with two very impressive young ladies, Gabriella Hoffman and Yoella Palkin. Because we're going to probably be in the middle of something juicy when we have to suddenly sign off, let me, before I ask you more questions, let me ahead of time thank both of you for coming in. You are so impressive.
Thank you. That's so very kind.
I'd like to have you on my show again. I'd like to have you a lot together, separate, on the phone, in the
studio.
You can stand on your head while you do it. And, okay. We were talking a little bit about the November elections. I want to get Gabriella's response first.
Sure. Well, of course, these midterm elections are going to be very indicative of, you know, what's to transpire for future elections and, you know, for the longevity of the United States. What we've largely seen, you know, in prior elections and, you know, in America's history is that many people largely ignore, you know, these elections where, you know, the general election is not highly profiled and these people, you know, oh, it's just a congressional election, you know, it's nothing super important. But I think with, you know, what we've seen with Obama's mishandling of America and his utter failing destruction, you know, of our country thus far, we see that more people are going to be attentive to the polls and attentive with, you know, how things are, you know, playing out to be. And with this November coming about, I think people are going to be more responsive and more educated about what goes on.
And I hope it is only the educated people that vote. I'm not a big believer in get out the vote because a lot of people that vote should simply not be voting. So if you're out there and you're listening and you don't know anything about politics, I know you have a right to vote, but you also have a right to be responsible. Just stay home if you haven't studied
this.
Watch
the results. Okay? Yeah.
And if you have studied this and you want to live under a Marxist country that'll later on be taken over by the Islamists who use the Marxist, well, then you just go ahead and vote that way. But please understand that that's what you're voting for. At least your thoughts on this, Yoella.
Well, I'm actually very excited for the November election. Actually, one of our friends is running for a state assembly, Alvaro Day, and we're cheering him on.
Yeah,
and
he'd
actually
be one of the youngest people to successfully.
How's he doing in the polls? He's doing, you know.
Tremendous.
Awesome. I mean, he's raised so much money in the past, like, 2 months, and it's an incredible.
And the polls are indicating that, too, because politicians always say they're doing well. But he is really doing well.
He is doing well, and I'm actually working on the 6th Congressional District campaign, Jim Judd for Congress, and we're trying to defeat Pelosi's lapdog, Lynn Woolsey. So we're doing also, you know. We're getting ahead in the polls, and we see that people are disappointed because of everything that Obama has created in the past 2 years, and we're definitely making a difference, so I'm excited.
Okay, well, I have you, Yoella, and then I'll have Gabriella respond to this, too. How many young conservatives are there out at your campus? You're from San Francisco? Is it San Francisco State? Is that where you're
from? No, I actually go to College of Marin, which is a transfer school, and I will be transferring to UC San Diego in the fall.
Oh, my goodness.
So we will be conquering together.
Watch out, San Diego. You were warned here first. Okay.
Yeah. So
At the moment,
I'm at the College of Marin, and I mean, the San Francisco population and conservative pool in general is very unique and definitely different from SoCal, but we do have a number of young conservatives that are committed.
How many would you say come to your meetings?
Well, we actually don't have meetings. I have my media network, and around 10 contribute regularly, and they actually are big voices on our local campaigns, and we all, you know, we group together, we support the candidates together. So there's a, you know, good group of 10 of us, but obviously those 10 cannot conquer the entire Bay Area.
Now, what are your professors like? I imagine some are better than others, but I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that if your professor said something stupid, you might just make a comment.
Oh, I've actually been downgraded and
downgraded and
marked down and
give us one example.
Well,
give us one
example. I mean,
and
let
please
me
feel
tell
free
you
to use the professor's name on the air.
I mean, I won't because
you're a nicer person than I am.
I mean, I've had, you know, several confrontations with him, and I hope that he doesn't listen to San Diego radio stations. But
I can't imagine he ever takes a moment to listen to conservative talk radio because hearing two sides is probably not a phenomenon that he's familiar with.
Exactly. But I'll tell you a quick story. Basically, what happened is this was a regular I was pre-med a year ago before Obamacare hit, and I had dreams of becoming a
doctors are dropping like flies because of Obamacare.
Exactly, and I had dreams of becoming an interventional radiologist, and I started my pre-med, and I walked into my first biology class, biology, 101. Basic pre-med.
Where you would think it was just facts and there'd be nothing politically correct.
Yes, pre-med, pre-nursing.
All right, what is the politically correct biology that you, this I gotta hear.
And then we were forced to watch Michael Moore movies.
Oh, for
for extra credit. And when one of the Michael Moore movies called Fahrenheit.
I went to see that only because I had to be able to talk about it intelligently. I got myself a big tub of popcorn, sat in the back of the theater, and I said, we can do this. We can get through this.
And then I actually walked out of that one. I didn't watch it full through. He marked me down for that day. Then I walked out of when we had to watch the Love of Capitalism movie. And the final one that really...
No, wait. Why was this in a biology class?
Because he was showing his perspective of the world. And when we were covering different elements such as poverty and how people are treated and how people are cared for in countries with poverty, he felt that it was necessary to show that Michael Moore movie, The Love of Capitalism, to see what our country is doing to third world
countries. Right. Of course, if some student said, let's talk about intelligent design since we're on the subject of biology, that's inappropriate for the classroom. But if you want to share some Marxist leftist agenda in a biology class, oh, that's fine.
A plus. And so what really hit the nail on the head was when we were forced to watch the Al Gore movie with the global warming. So we had an assignment to write about how global warming will basically, destruct our planet in the next decade. And I wrote about how global warming was a conspiracy.
Well, the same guy who invented the internet invented the weather for us.
That's right. And bought a $10 million house in Malibu, California.
Yeah, and flies on jets all over the world that's doing things to our atmosphere as well. Okay, a story from Gabriella out on the college campus. As I recalled, you've had better experiences with your professors.
Well, I haven't necessarily challenged them as much. I haven't had as many professors that have been more outspoken. I'm slowly, gradually getting myself into more poli-sci classes. I took more of general ed classes. But as I previously mentioned when I was with you on the Rick Amato show, I have had some teachers who just like randomly detract. I mentioned about Buddhism and this guy went on a limb about Angela Davis. And then I remember I just hear like little snickering comments about like conservatives and, Fox News being a right wing nut job station.
That's because there's a little corner of the world that shows both sides and they cannot
handle they can't,
that.
They can't cogitate
that. Drives them
that.
Livid.
Yes, absolutely. But, I haven't had that. But it's just like, even if I haven't had professors, it's just the administration and the ideals and the programs that they sponsor that are just so overwhelmingly Marxist. Let's say like we have our 50th anniversary coming up for UC San Diego. I'll actually kind of mention something interesting about Bill Clinton and the whole global warming thing in just a moment. But we have like a 50th anniversary. And then, the themes that they want us to embrace for volunteering our efforts for the 50th anniversary would be to be conscious about women's issues, to be conscious about environmentalism, social justice, humanitarian efforts, human rights violations, et cetera, et cetera. It's just the whole Marxist propaganda being thrown at us for that year. And I think to top it all off, they're having the Clinton Global Initiative on my campus from April 1st to the 3rd.
Clinton Global Initiative.
He'll be gracing his presence at UC San Diego, apart from his address of, the graduating class of 1997. He's actually making his grand debut as a speaker with his whole tirade of global warming and all these other pressing issues.
He's on a tour around California.
Yeah, he actually was just in Irvine. We just came back from Western CPAC, which was in Newport Beach, and he was in nearby Irvine, preaching his garbage.
Yeah, I'd love to go and see him, but I think on that day I'm having a boil lanced, so I'm just not going to be able to make it.
Yeah,
we'll see if
he'll
we can
miss you.
It. Yeah.
Okay, in the last few minutes, a couple of events coming up on your campuses.
just experiences. Well, I mean, it's
no events coming up.
Events you'd like to maybe promote. Well,
we
don't specialize on events because right now we're focused on the November election. So we're just, you know, we're pushing that, and hopefully, you know, every conservative and every Republican will come out and vote to save this country on November 2nd. That's
absolutely
what I'm hoping for.
And Gabriella, out at UCSD, what's coming up?
So November 10th, we'll be having our Global Communism Awareness Panel. We have three speakers. A gentleman from the former USSR, my father, will be speaking. Our friend Alvaro Day will be speaking on behalf of Peru. And we have an Iranian woman who will speak on her experiences back in that country. And it should be very interesting. We're generating quite a bit of interest from one museum and a couple other organizations. So we would love people to come out to that and hear real perspectives about, you know, people from formerly oppressed or currently oppressed countries. It's a very resourceful event, and I hope people from either side can, you know, gander and grasp, you know, our
message. Quickly, within seconds, your website.
Okay, well, I have my own blog, GabriellaHoffman.wordpress.com, and I also blog for David Horowitz's Newsreel blog. And I also write for the San Diego Rostra, and I'm the advertising manager for the California Review.
And Yoella, you're blogging on Horowitz also?
Yes, I also blog for Horowitz at Newsreel, and also we have our media network, which is pop3tv.com, mm-hmm. and that you will be seeing more of us, so watch out.
Okay, Gabriella Hoffman and Yoella Palkan, we'll see you all next week, everybody.
Thank you,
Bob.
The Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.